Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I feel good today. Tell them how you feel, Gerald. Come on, get up. Let's praise. Come on, Holy Ghost. Talking about the Holy Ghost fire. Come on.
Go ahead and clap those holy, holy hands. Praise the Lord. And welcome to Fire, the gospel experience that is dedicated to honoring the true and only living creator God. Now is the time, beloved, to let our mind, bodies, and souls be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with our great, wonderful, magnificent God, our Father. And, oh, yes, indeed, his precious and beautiful son, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah and Savior, Jesus the Christ, right here on this fire gospel experience. Jesus the Christ is unashamedly, unequivocally, and unapologetically declared to be the only Redeemer, the only acceptable Lamb of God. He is the only chosen one, beloved, with the keys of life, death, hell, the grave, and to our beautiful eternal life, which starts right here, right now, based upon Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead for the saving and salvation of our souls, guess what? You shall be saved. Amen. We don't have to wait until many people think that we will rise and float away on this pink cloud into heaven to start our eternal life. No, it starts right here, right now, our relationship with our God, because he is our only hope and light for this lost, dark, and dying world that we're living in. Blessings to each and every one of you beautiful souls. I'm privileged and blessed to be back here with you. I'm your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson, and I'm here to bring you the most uplifting spiritual soul inspirations, as well as some of the most anointed gospel music that has ever been made and ever been played. Fire, the gospel experience, will light, ignite, and fan those flames that's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, girl, so that you can be that victorious believer in Jesus the Christ, because I promise you, God is not a respecter of person. He's just looking for a humble heart to worship and fellowship with him in spirit and in truth. We will be embracing for your spiritual consideration, nutrition, and inspection, spiritually speaking, from the book of Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2, where the great prophet Moses is declaring sanctified truth to the children of Israel about their covenant blessings from God. Moses starts his discourse by telling them to be careful and to remember, which is also good instruction for all Christian believers today, that we may follow God well according to his ways and his will, because God will consistently give us heart exams to see whether we are living our lives to honor him. We're going to be talking about heart examination for your spiritual consideration. My special guest is here, awesome man of God. I'm trying to tell you, you anointed people of God are so awesome in who you are, what you're doing for God. He is a licensed funeral director and police chaplain for the city of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, right here where yours truly is broadcasting, a man of many talents, and I'm sure many callings and ministries on his life. Man of God, Dr. Marshawn C. Walker is here. Amen. Just love when these men of God step into this fire gospel experience platform so that we can chop it up, because we are under so much derision and so many speculations in a negative sense that I love these upstanding and outstanding men of God that know who they are, that have a right understanding of their position in life, in faith, and family, and society to show up, and we share honest to goodness, truth, and testimony. And later on in the broadcast, our shine artist spotlight will be on gospel artist, woman of God, CeCe Goldbolt. We played her music last week, and I got such a stirring in my spirit. I got in touch with that woman of God. She's going to be here joining us. She's going to share a testimony. We're going to play her music all over again and just get happy, just like Jesus wants us to. So call a family member, y'all. Call a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker, or whoever you think could use some good godly inspiration right here, right now, because we've already had prayer, and we're ready to set this bad boy on fire for God, giving him his just due praises. We've already had prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit God, for lighting the fuse that's about to set the internet and the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire.
I had faith. purpose. Yeah. He healed my pain from my heartache. He healed all my scars from my heartbreak. I'm no longer doing it the hard way. From now on, I'm doing it God's way. He healed my pain from my heartache. He healed all my scars from my heartbreak. I'm no longer doing it the hard way. From now on, I'm doing it God's way. He healed the pain from my heartache. He healed the scars from my heartbreak. He healed the scars from my heartbreak. He healed the pain from my heartache. He healed my pain from my heartache. He healed all my scars from my heartbreak. I'm no longer doing it the hard way. From now on, I'm doing it God's way. He healed my pain from my heartache.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I remember those times when I was so stubborn in my mind and thinking that I knew some things when I really didn't know half of what I thought I did. Lord Jesus, I can thank God right here, right now, y'all, that I have come to the point in my life where I'm like, man of God, Torrance Rudd. I'm doing things God's way. I don't care what the crowd say. I don't care what the people say. I'm an elder in the body of Christ now. Y'all talk about me all like y'all want to, as much as you please. Just spell my name right. Pronounce my name right while you're gossiping about me and talking about me, so that when it comes back around to me, as Holy Spirit God influences me to either speak on it, correct it, or just pass it by and let that mess go on where it's going to go, I'm still going to stay stuck on my Jesus and let God have his way in my life. And I'm encouraging each and every one of you beautiful souls to do the same. Thank you, man of God, Torrance Rudd, that millennial group of young men, gospel artists, anointed, and coming in strong, representing our Lord Jesus Christ on this fire gospel experience. My special guest is here talking about a young man that is phenomenal in his presence on who he is. Yes, he is a member of that distinguished group of men from the Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity. He is a member of the Pi Nu Lambda chapter of Alpha Phi Alpha, my fraternity brother, licensed as well in the state of Arkansas as a funeral director, adjunct professor at the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, UAPB, Golden Lions, hailing out of East St. Louis. He is a married man to the woman of God, Donna Bell Wilborn. And I just want y'all to know I'm happy to have this man of God here with us, because he is also police chaplain for the city of Pine Bluff, where yours truly is broadcasting from. Without any further ado, happy to have this man of God coming in and representing Jesus, our Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, none other than man of God, Dr. Marshawn C. Walker is here on this fire gospel experience. Amen. Amen. Come on in the room, man of God. Welcome, Dr. Marshawn C. Walker, the fire, the gospel experience. How you doing? Good brother, good brother.
I'm doing all right. You gave me a new last name. I really appreciate it. I like that last name.
Well, help me out, Doc. Help me out. Help me out. All I'm trying to do is just represent.
I have a lot of Walkers in my family, so that's uh-huh. You aren't you tracking, but I'm a Wilborn.
Wilborn. Amen. Amen. So everybody out there in Radio Land, I just want y'all to know if there's anything y'all could send me for my birthday or for my Christmas, it's a secretary to help me with this ministry. Welcome, man of God, Dr. Marshawn C. Wilborn, Sr. Amen. I guess it's a walker
yes,
right around here somewhere. I guess it's a walker running around here somewhere in my spirit. But, man of God, I am grateful to have you, Dr. Wilborn. Tell me something about yourself. Introduce yourself to our listening audience, man of God.
Well, man, I'm honored to be here on today, thanking God for the opportunity, who is the head of my life, to giving you honor as well. I hail from the city of East St. Louis, Illinois. I'm the oldest of seven children, and been married going on 22 years, five children my own, four girls and a boy, three grandkids.
Amen. Lord Jesus,
and so,
your quiver is full.
Oh, man, yes, sir, yes, sir. God is good. Yes, sir.
Amen, amen. Well, man of God, listen, one of the beautiful things that I really enjoy about bringing you anointed and sanctified people of God onto this broadcast is so that you all can, as you're sharing your testimony, as you're sharing your life story, the ups and downs, the ins and outs, the bright days, as well as some of those dark days that God brings us all through. You being a funeral director, I'd like to just start right there, because there's not too many people, even children, if they have not understood what was going on, they have been to funerals. And to be able to exist on a regular, continuous basis, I think gets overlooked. I don't think people realize, Dr. Wilborn, how much from within a person's own deep self it takes to be able to minister to grieving families, to deal with a body that has no soul, and to be there, to be correct, to be polite, to be cordial, and to be so professional at the same time. But I am understanding, just from looking at it from the outside in, that it takes a great deal of spiritual reservoir within a person in this ministry to do so. Can you share with us what it's like being a funeral director and dealing with families that are grieving the loss of loved ones?
Well, when I first came into the funeral business, I was I had the fear of death. I was scared to be in a room with a dead body, and I was scared to go to funerals. And I had been preaching at that time about 20 years. And so one morning I just woke up and I said, Lord, I just need to get over death, because our church was hit rapidly with death.
Mm.
I had to deal with that. And so the easy part for me was that I was able to deal with the families, and then after I dealt with the families, that was enough. But then I found out it was a little more to it than just me dealing with the family. But it's a service, and I want you to understand, brother, when we talk about the funeral home, a lot of people take it as a job, but it's more than a job to me. It's actually a ministry, because to see someone laying on a table who had suffered, or someone who had not suffered, but they died instantly, it's already a pain for a family to go through that unexpected death. And so I wanted to deal with that within my church. I wanted to deal with the families, and I wanted to experience what would happen behind the doors of the funeral home. Mm. And so one day I woke up and I went to one of my friends, a good friend of mine's, new in college, Samuel Vance, out of Maverick.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, let me be his chaplain, and he brought me in, and the first thing he did to me, which I thought was the meanest and cruelest thing he could have done to me, but it actually helped me spiritually. He took me straight to the room where they prepared the body. And so I'm like, I didn't sign up for this. But as he did that, you know, my fear was really, really great at that time. And I was just praying. I'm talking about a brother that prayed more than he ever prayed then.
Okay.
It made my prayer life become more advanced. And so, and then he started, you know, he said, well, okay, I think you'll be okay. And he left me in the building a couple of times by myself. And I'm talking about the very first time, Brother Jeff, I sat at that desk and did not make one move. He was gone for quite some time. And sat there for a long time. Every creaking noise in the building, I'm talking about I'm jumping. And so I just started to begin to pray and start seeking God and saying, God, I wanted to be better. And I didn't actually overcome that fear until I came to Pine Bluff, which is Perry Funeral Home under Roy Heron. I got a chance to touch the body and see what the body was going through and see how the transformation of life breathed out of the body and how the body was prepared and how the body was placed in the casket. And just the touch of the body gave me comfort to let them, let me know that that person was actually gone. And so it made it a whole lot easier for me to minister to the family. A lot of people, and terminologies, I want to clear some terminologies because a lot of people say, well, we're going to go to the wake before the funeral, and there's no such thing as a wake. Back in the days, they used to use wakes as they sit there, and as the person took their last breath, they waited to see if the person would wake up. That's what you call a wake. Okay. But we call it family hours now.
Okay.
And so we have a family hour where they get a chance to, you know, say their goodbyes to their loved ones. And that's the hardest thing, to say goodbye to someone that you've seen every day, someone that you love, someone that has been an intricate part of your life, someone that has even taken care of you. It's just so hard. And it's easy for us to say that not going through the situation and pain, just give it to God. That's easy to say, but it's hard to do. And so we being funeral directors, our job is to comfort the family, to make their situation a whole lot easier than, you know, we can't take the pain away, but we can make it a lot less painful.
Okay.
And how do we do that? Well, we make sure that everything is in place and in order and that they don't have to worry about, you know, worrying about how their loved one is going to be taken care of. If you just, the secrets of the funeral home, you know, it's just, you don't know until you actually work there. But some things, you know, it's better let not to be known than to be known. And so I just, you know, my job is, as a preacher and as a funeral director, is to make sure that I'm instilling Jesus Christ into those family that are living lives. Let them know that, you know, there's a time for us to live and there's a time for us to die. And that we need to make sure that we have all our business in place, especially those who don't have insurance to take care of the funerals. That's the stressful part, not for the family, but for the funeral home. Because we have to work deals and we have to make miracles happen for the family to be comfortable in the midst of their mourning. So I just want to tell your listeners that if you don't have a funeral policy, please go get one. Because that's one thing you need to have to make your family feel at ease.
Let me jump in for a quick minute, Dr. Bill Bourne. And I'm glad you said that because it seems like many of us have this mentality that the funeral homes know that we are grieving and we're sad and we're heartbroken and y'all should let us slide. Y'all should give us a break. Y'all should just let us take whatever we have to offer, not realizing that, yes, we understand you're hurt. We understand you're grieving, that the loss and the heartbroken pain of losing a loved one is real, and it can be very traumatic in some cases, if not many cases. But still, it is a business for the funeral home to be able to provide this service that cannot be overlooked. And that's kind of why they say family and business don't mix, because we seem to blur the lines because of emotions and want to throw professionalism and want to throw accountability and want to throw business sense out the window when that's not appropriate.
That, That is so true. It's just like if you own a grocery store and I'm hungry, can I go in your grocery stores and fill a basket up and walk out? No, I got to pay. And the first thing you're going to say to me is, brother, I got to eat. Okay, we have to eat too. A lot of people don't understand that, you know, what funeral home is a business. It's a ministry too.
It is.
Yeah, it's true. It's just like the church.
It is.
You know, people mistreat the church just like they mistreat funerals. You know, they think that because they're going through something, everybody's supposed to stop their life and stop what they're doing and cater to them. And we understand your mourning. We understand that you're going through. But we all understand, too, that there is something that has to be taken care of that's detrimental to, you know, the situation. So a lot of people don't want to they hide behind their emotions not to pay the bill.
Mm.
Now, that's not everybody. Yeah. That's not everybody. There's been a couple of people that came in and they actually needed our help. And the funeral homes that I work for, they are great at helping people. We don't bust people over the head. We're not stealing bodies. Mm. None of that stuff.
Yeah.
We just making sure we give people the adequate and the best service at that moment, because that's what's important.
And that's
the part of the ministry.
It's part of ministry, Dr. Wilborn. But the thing that kind of gets me too is how people on the outside want to try to rewrite the script of our business title, of our church protocol, and then make accusations against their own assessment. It's like, we never said that. That's you coming in the door. And I need to flip the script real quick and see how you feel about this, because I always ask Holy Spirit God to come in and direct the conversation as he sees fit. And it almost falls in line with what you and I just got through saying when people are talking about church hurt. Come on now. Mm-hmm. I know you didn't know going there, but when people start talking about church hurt, what's the first thing come to your mind, Dr. Wilborn?
What did the pastor do? Church hurt. So when we deal with church hurt, the only thing I dislike about church hurt is the next pastor suffers.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, the next pastor suffers. Everybody wants that pastor to be the golden child, the golden pastor. Mm. They want them to have no fault, no wrong, but they can do wrong. And church hurt is just a total element by itself. When you're dealing with church hurt, you got to go back to the source of where it come from. Why did it happen?
Mm-hmm.
Why did it happen? Who caused it to happen? And what was the result of it happening? And then you can't take your frustrations out on the next person.
Yes, sir.
You just can't do it. And so we pastors, they go into these churches behind people who have been mistreated by their leader. It caused us to have a harder time to not minister, but to baby these people and to get them back where we need them at. And we didn't spend most of our ministry trying to do damage control. If that makes any sense.
That does make sense. That makes a lot of sense. Come on, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so when we spend most of our ministry doing damage control, by the time we're ready to minister to the people, we tired and we need to be ministered to.
Oh, Lord.
And so, and that's why you got most of your pastors now are retiring. Most of your pastors are now walking away. And they're not walking away because they don't love the church. They walking away because they exhausted with the damage control. But if the people just take the time out.
But I'm sorry, well,
go ahead.
Wouldn't you say that behind the scenes overall, isn't that the strategic plan of our enemy of man's soul, the devil? to exhaust the leaders, to exhaust the leaders with petty stuff.
It is.
Because a lot of people that come in with church hurt, in my mind, they came in with thin skin. If they thought somebody looked at them wrong, in my mind, I'm thinking they ready to run up out of there anyway. Well, they staring at me. They looking at me funny. And why we got to sit over here? And these people, so it's almost like they come in with a negative attitude to find fault any which way they can, and then they're going to cry church hurt. I know a lot of people is not leaving their jobs because the job hurt. And then maybe some people is leaving parts of their family because the family hurt. But it's so easy to blame the church. And I can't help but wonder, like you said, where does this pain come from? They may have prayed illicit prayers to God, and God didn't answer foolish, self-centered prayers, so they mad at God, and then they take it out on the church. Come on, Dr. Wilbur. What you think about that?
Well, I actually don't think that's church hurt. I think that's just foolishness.
Come on.
And now, my thing is, you have to define what is church hurt. The definition of church hurt is someone being hurt within the church. And so when you talk about someone being hurt in the church, you're talking about somebody inside of that ministry has hurt them, not someone that's coming in and they already hurt from something else that they want to take it out on that particular church. I think that's just foolishness. It's just like me going to visit my in-laws. I'm mad at my wife. Do I be mean to my in-laws because my wife connected to them? They have not done nothing to me. And so we have to decipher what is church hurt and what is not church hurt. I think that's just foolishness. I think that people, they put us in a box, especially preachers. They put preachers in a box. One preacher can do something wrong. All of the preachers done it wrong. Oh, all
ain't
of y'all know
no good.
Right. And we deal with that because, you know, it's foolishness. It's nothing but foolishness. And that's why I call it foolishness. But if we deal with the problem in the church, we'll have less church hurt. Something we got to define where the church hurt is.
I just honestly think people need to be made more aware of the reality of the invisible realm of spirit existence. That means God is invisible. Our enemy, Satan, the devil, is invisible. His demoniac hordes and demons are invisible. And a lot of people, unfortunately, because of their invisibility, are only able to perceive and pay attention to the visible. They don't understand that this person's attitude can be greatly influenced by a demon that is harassing these people to agitation. And then they see us with our happy saved selves come along, and then they are spiteful because misery loves company. That is so true. And then we're saved. We've been delivered from misery. We get tried. We get tempted. We get tested. But we know that we have victory in God. And then this joy that we have in God, the world didn't give it to us. And guess what? The world can't take it away, Dr. Wilborn. And so they have this animosity against us because we have what they don't have. And rather than coming and humbling themselves and saying, brother, sister, I see you every day, and I need to know what is your secret, what they do is they draw back, and then they lob animosity bombs at us because they are stuck and they can't get out. What would you suggest to someone that either is stuck in a case of misery or maybe being attacked by a person that is miserable, and what advice would you give those individuals?
The one that's been attacked, the advice that I would give them is still stay before the Lord. In all things, we have to stay before the Lord. I always remind myself that the Bible in Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's my reasonable service, so I represent him. And so no matter what trials or tribulation, no matter what people say to me, no matter how people mistreat me, I have to make sure I stay intact my spirit to stay intact, and my spirit should rub off on those who are being attacked.
That's right.
Those who are being attacked, those who are being attacked, and then and they don't have a way out, just love them. Love them. You can't. One thing you can't do is reject love. And if you reject love, you ain't nothing but the devil. Because you know God is love. Right, right. God is love. And so if God is love, then that's what we should be doing to one another. That's what we should be doing to someone that's going through something. Love them. Love them in spite of them. That's the advice I give, because love is always the key to every situation. Every situation I've been in.
I certainly agree with that, sir. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, ever since I, the situation I've been in, I have to learn how to love people. Even when they do me wrong, I have to love them. And that's the way I look at things.
Amen. Well, listen, when we come back from the music break, we're going to go a little bit deeper so that my special guest, man of God, Dr. Marshawn C. Wellborn, and I'm just going to just make him an honorary member of the Walker clan, but no, he is Dr. Marshawn C. Wellborn. And we're going to talk a little bit deeper about loving somebody. How do you flesh that out? Because we use that word, and a lot of people say, well, they think it's more emotionally tied to their, I guess you could say, well-being. And when actually it's agape love. It is love in action. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And then talk a little bit, too, about some ministerial ideas about you have. When the Lord was looking for Adam and Eve in the garden after the sin, he said, Adam, where are you? And don't you know that we have been asking that question about men in the proper place in their own identities in themselves, their family, in society as a whole? We're going to talk about where are the men, because that is where my heart is. That is what leads me in ministry, because we men need to find our proper place, Dr. Wellborn. And of course, that place has got to start with our relationship with our Creator. After all, He made us, and He knows us better than anyone. Here's Woman of God, Julia Brown, letting all of us know that without God, you ain't really got nothing going on. That's the truth. And the truth only hurts when it's supposed to.
Empty shell. You are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Fire, fire, fire. The gospel experience. We are that evangelistic outreach radio platform. We're not just here trying to build up a big reputation. Our reputation is in God, our relationship with our God. All fame or fortune, Lord knows I ain't getting paid off of this, but I'm getting paid in spiritual benefits. And yes, there are times when our awesome and amazing God opens up doors of blessings. Some of those blessings come in monetary form, but man of God, Dr. Wilborn, many of those blessings don't have nothing to do with money that I've come to recognize and appreciate, man, just like my elders, your elders and I used to say, I got my health, I got my strength, I'm in my right mind, I can clothe myself, I know who I am, the activities of my limbs, and overall, I have this amazing relationship with my creator, God Almighty. So I have to tell y'all, woman of God, Juliet Brown, let us know that I'm willing to let whatever stands between me and God, having this intimate, close relationship. It's amazing, too, because I know that word, Dr. Wilborn, that the Bible talks about, that when Adam knew God, it was the same terminology used, that when a husband knows his wife on a very intimate and sexual basis, God is saying, I want to know you as intimately as a husband and a wife coming together. Now, isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is. And you got to look at the word intimate. Can I break that down for you?
Please. That's why I brought you here.
All right. So when you think of the word intimate, just break the word up into me, into me.
Mm-hmm.
God wants you to be into him, into him. And you know, it don't have to be, it's not a sexual thing. It's a personal relationship. It's a walk. It's when he's talking about intimate, he's talking about into your heart. Mm-hmm. He's talking about your heartstrings. Your heart, the blood that flows through your body, should be him
yes.
that flows through you.
Mm.
And so that's what I think about when we talk about intimate. Into
yes,
me, which is him.
Mm.
Yes, sir.
Mm. You know, anytime we use anything that's associated with any type of sexual connotation at all, people will stop whatever they're doing, and eyes will open up wide to pay attention. So sometimes the symbolism that God uses is to have that, I guess you could say, shock value attached to it, and then get your attention and then lay some sanctified truth in you while our attention is so wide open and fully receptive to what God is saying. I love our God. He is a beautiful strategist. He knows how to engage each and every individual that he created. My question to you, man of God, is when we feel slighted, our Lord Jesus, man, he did something that is just so mind-boggling to us. And so I know it had to be even more so back to those in the Bible days when he said, I know that it's been told that you are to love your loved ones and hate your enemies, but here come our Lord Jesus talking about love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you and despitefully use you. You talked about loving somebody in spite of, and that brought to my mind the word agape love, about how this spiritual evidence of God in us is to be portrayed. Many people think it's more emotion than what it is. I think there's some emotion attached to it, but that's not the driving, motivating force. Let's talk about loving somebody, showing them some good, even though this person is against us. Let's go deeper with that.
Well, it's an emotional thing, but then also is a way of life. When we think about loving, we think of the Christian, just go back and think about what the word Christianity means. The word Christian, it means Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we call ourselves Christians, we call ourselves the son and daughters of God, then that means we take upon his spirit. And if we take upon a spirit of our father, or we take upon the spirit of our mother, I think that's the problem, though, because some of us, we have taken on the spirit of our mother and father of this world instead of our father, who is the spiritual father that we should be taking on, we get in trouble, and we begin to get in that fleshly love. And when I mean by fleshly love, it's really not love, it's really lust. We feed the lust of our spirit, of our flesh, instead of feeding the love of our spirit. And so when we talk about loving God, how much we love God so much, we shouldn't have to tell people that we love God. It should be in our way of life. It should be in our actions. Yeah. It should be in the way we carry ourselves. It should be in the way who we hang with and who we deal with. Even if we don't hang with people, we should be able to show love when people are down. We shouldn't step on them. We should be able to bring them up. And if we can't bring them up, leave them alone. Pray for them. But that Jesus never walked by a man that was in need or a woman that was in need without helping them. Why can't we do the same? We say we're Christ-like.
Amen.
So
where does this resource come in? Because it's not within our human DNA to be able to show love, consideration, and compassion for somebody that could care less about us. Even those that may be openly against us, how do we overcome our human tendencies to be able to display this Christ-likeness that you're talking about?
It's a learned thing. It's just like, and I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but it's just like someone who's been taught to be a racist.
Okay.
It wasn't like they woke up that morning and said, okay, I'm going to be a racist. It wasn't like they was in the mother's womb and they came out and they was a racist. It was something that was taught. It was something that was implanted into them. And you got to remember that we are fertile ground. And when we place a seed in that fertile ground and we water it, it grows. And it depends on what kind of seed that we place in that fertile ground. What it will produce. And so if you put a bad seed in fertile ground, it's gonna produce a bad plant or a bad fruit or even a bad person. But when you place some good seed on fertile ground, it'll produce a good person, good fruit.
Mm, that's
where I'm going. You know, it's a learned thing. You just can't wake up in the morning and say, I love everybody. No, it's something that you have to learn how to do. And a child you look at a child. A child's innocent. A child loves everybody until he's taught to love certain ones. Just imagine when you was a kid and you say, well, I don't like her. Your mama or daddy say, I don't like them. And then all of a sudden you disliking a person because your parents dislike them. That person hadn't done nothing to you, but it's a learned behavior. And so we have to kind of reprogram ourselves to learn how to love everybody in spite of. And that's what I tell my children. I say, okay, some people can't help who they are. You still have to love them in spite of. Still pray for them.
Mm.
I didn't say be their buddy. I say pray for them and keep them before God, because God can touch their heart just like he touched yours.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, man of God. Like you said, they learn hate and evil, and we have to learn the Christ-like way, and we have to understand that it takes practice, too. I've had situations, man of God, that after the circumstance, I had a feeling of remorse about how I handled the situation. I replayed it in my mind, and then I heard Holy Spirit God kind of tweaking what I could have done better. And I would even kind of just say things on my own, in my own solitude, in my mind. I would rehearse what I'm going to say next time so that hopefully it would be more on an automatic pilot spiritual plane, if you understand what I'm saying. That it would just come out instantly.
I definitely know what you're talking about. And sometimes we have to immediately go back and fix it, because you never know when you have the opportunity. If you have the opportunity to go back and immediately fix it, go back immediately fix it. It might be a time that, you know, that person really didn't catch it or pay attention to it, but it eases your spiritual, you know, guidance, the spiritual man in you or woman in you. It'll ease you because you know that was the right thing to do. You made a mistake. That's one of our other problems. We don't own up to our mistakes. And I think that's what's going on with the men in our time. When we made a mistake, we too what's the word? I can't find a word, but we just don't like being wrong, or we don't want to be told that we were wrong. And so
too proud.
That's what I'm looking for. We got that. I learned a long time ago not to let my pride get in front of my spirit.
Oh my God, help us, Lord.
Once your pride get in front of your spirit, that's the most. Pride is the most dangerous thing to have, and that's what's wrong with us men. We got so much pride. I'm
so
a man.
Pride.
Okay, you're a man. You're a man. Mm. We know you're a man. But it's okay to say I'm sorry. It's okay to say I was wrong. It's okay to say, look, forgive me. Don't let
it
fester.
It's okay to say I'm lost.
Right. It's okay to say
it. Help me find my way.
Right. I made a mistake. Listen, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Especially with our wives. We so prideful. And all our wives is looking for us to say is, look, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. But we want to, I did it this way because I'm a man. No, that ain't the way it goes.
It's like we trying to prove that we're a man when all they want to see is that we're human.
Right, exactly. And that's so much in the church, too, because the church, I really believe that a lot of the church hurt could be healed if the pastor stand up and say, okay, this is what happened. How do we rectify the problem? And how can we make it better where it won't happen again?
That's right.
Instead
Amen.
Of just
Amen.
Saying walking away and not, don't want to, they don't want to solve the problem. They just walk away from it and leave it like it is. And then somebody else got to deal
yeah.
with it.
Yeah, try to come off so spiritual. Even try to transfigure a scripture to fit a situation that is not even biblically accurate. A misuse of scripture to try to cover up something as simple as, you know what, I made a mistake. I apologize. Will you please forgive
yes,
me
sir.
And help me to do better? I had reached a point, man of God, because of family hurt in my life. Feeling unloved and unwanted growing up, I found it very arduous for me to apologize. It was a painful thing for me to admit. Not that so much that I'm sorry, but I'm wrong because I felt like there were so many wrongs done to me that I had not been apologized to and for. That I don't have it within me to apologize nobody else because I'm so empty from being frustrated, from being hurt. I don't have nothing in me to apologize because I'm still waiting on somebody to help bring me back to life with some apologies. And then you know what we'll do, man of God? We will die a slow death internally waiting on apologies mm-hmm. that may never come.
So let me help you with that. I told this young man, I said, he was saying the same thing you were saying. And I was saying, you know what? How's that person doing? He said, he's doing great.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? That guy ain't even thinking about you.
At all.
I said, he's not thinking about you, and he's sleeping good. And I said, you over here pondering, and you not sleeping good. You having all these thoughts. You just going through that.
Yeah.
You go call him and fix it. Let him know he hurt you. And deal with it like that, and then get that weight off of you. Sometimes we got to deal with those situations by confronting them.
Mm-hmm.
And then after confronting them, giving it to God. You know what you know one statement I don't like that I hear a lot of people say, and especially preachers. I'm only human.
Oh.
I'm only human.
Mm.
I'm only human. But
ain't no. Ain't nobody.
You only
human
when you make a mistake, right? I ain't perfect. You made a mistake, and now you want to sing that song. When you don't make mistakes, sing that song. But don't sing that song when you made a mistake and you know better.
Amen.
I didn't jump to something else. I'm sorry.
No, you're good, man. God, let it flow. Let it flow. You already spoke about one of the issues that I always like to discuss, and that's men in the church. Where are we? It's almost like it seems like there is an offense taken when some men come to church because they feel like the leader of the church may have greater influence over my family, trying to run my family from the pulpit, and we get offended by that, not understanding that the man of God is sharing information that's going to bless our family. And that there's no reason to be intimidated by his presence and by his preaching.
Yeah, that's an inner man's problem.
Mm.
That's an inner man's problem. And why I say that is because that means that he knows that what he's doing is not enough. And so he's shifting the blame.
Mm.
I'm going to go to church because of that. Now, you went to church because you want to know what's going on. And that was designed for you to do. Some of that stuff is designed for the people to do so they can get their stuff together. And if they don't get their stuff together within that, I don't know what else will help them. But, yeah, that's an inner man issue that needs to be addressed with him and God. If your family is being led by the church, you know that's already wrong. The church is supposed to lead a man, and the man is supposed to lead his family.
Come on,
so. The reason why the church is leading a lot of families is because the man don't want to step up and take responsibility. They want the wives to do everything. They want the wives to do their job and the wife's job. And we have to step up and take the responsibility. I'm going to go back to that question, go back to what you said about Adam and Eve. when Adam and Eve was in the garden and Satan had tempted Adam, Satan tempted Eve, where was Adam?
Yeah.
He was right there.
Mm-hmm.
He was right there. And instead, he could have said, he could have stopped everything. And that's what a lot of us men do. We let a lot of women take charge. Not saying the women shouldn't take charge. Women take charge only because the man won't.
Come on. That's true.
I might have started something. They might not like me no more. I'm sorry.
No,
but
That's true. You're right. And I agree with you, and that's profound. And we can simplify some of the pettiest stuff and try to make it something extreme. And then when it comes to those things that need our undivided attention, we tend to minimize it. And as far as I'm concerned, man of God, Dr. Wilborn, all of those are just escape clauses that we use so that we cannot be accountable for the things that we need to be responsible for. We'll shift the blame, we'll dodge, we'll duck, we'll hide, and we'll run, and we'll be some of the first ones to start pointing fingers, talking about this ain't right, and you're supposed to be doing this, that, and the other thing, instead of looking at ourselves and saying, well, what did I do about it? Man of God, I sure hate to apologize and have to leave you on this note, but I ain't mad because now that just gives me the perfect opportunity to have you come back as soon as possible so that we can reschedule this conversation and let this kingdom collaboration continue on. How about that, man of God?
Sound good to me. I appreciate you inviting me.
Amen. Well, I'm not through with you yet because I know that there are going to be some pastors, preachers, maybe in Pine Bluff area, maybe in Little Rock area, somewhere in Arkansas, or maybe across the borders over there in Louisiana, or maybe down there in Texas. Lord knows they're looking for good preachers over there in Oklahoma. They may want to get in touch with you after listening to this Fire Gospel Experience broadcast and want to invite you to come be a part of their revival, of their men's conference, or just want you to come and speak in their pulpit on a Sunday afternoon. Where can you be contacted in case somebody wants you to bring your anointed godly ministry to their church? How can you be contacted? And please share your social media contacts as well, your social media outlets, so that all of the listeners can follow you on Facebook, Twitter, or whatever you got going on, man of God.
Okay, you can reach me at area code 501-349-6382. You can email me at drmcwsr1906@gmail.com. And my social media, Facebook is the only one I use. You can find me on Facebook on the Dr. Marshawn C. Wilborn Sr.
Amen, amen. Well, listen, man of God, I have enjoyed this conversation. And for those of y'all that don't know, 1906 is very relevant. I'm just going to leave that right there because people will be saying, he's just trying to run that Alpha Phi Alpha thing all the way in. Yes, I am. But I want to say this, too, that fraternally speaking, there's no animosity. I know we have these, I guess, college days where we try to go up one another, but as we are seasoned in life, we can respect all fraternities, all sororities that are taking care of business in our communities and their homes. There is a commitment that it takes to be able to cross over into fraternities and sororities. It helps an individual find who they are and the stresses of life, which we can carry on into our business life and our professional life and our home life as well. But the greatest test and achievement that we Christians have is not so much in our fraternity, as much as we love our fraternities and sororities. We lay all of that secondary to our love and commitment to God, to our Savior Jesus Christ, as Holy Spirit God continues to move in our lives. My prayer for you, man of God, Dr. Marshawn C. Wilborn, is that God will continue to bless you, keep you, guide you, cover you, and lead you to uncharted territory so that your ministry can prosper and grow, so that you'll receive great reward on that day when you see God face to face. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Is there any final words of wisdom or encouragement that you'd like to leave us with before you go, Dr. Wilmer?
I just want to encourage you on today. Doing a great job. I'm praying that God continue to bless you and become more widespread throughout the nation because you're doing a great job and you've got a great show. I enjoyed you.
Thank you, sir. I received that, and I bless you in Jesus. Looking forward to you coming back. Let's make it sooner than later.
Okay, that sounds good.
Man of God, that is a licensed funeral director right here in Pine Bluff, state of Arkansas. He is the police chaplain over at Pine Bluff Police Department. Dr. Marshawn C. Wilborn was here, and he blessed us on this fire gospel experience. Yes, he did. I promise you he did. Yeah. I appreciate all of you, God breathed, God anointed, God blessed people of God that come into this fire gospel experience ministry and share your testimony, share your powerful words of wisdom, experience, and knowledge in this Christian way, because there's a lot of religions out there, but if they don't have Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm just so sorry, because God only recognizes his son, Jesus the Christ, as the way, as the door, as the light of the world. And besides him, I'm sorry, it's just religion. It's all about relationship with our creator God through his son, Jesus Christ, with the indwelling of Holy Spirit God, the Comforter. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, those three combined to make one God, amen, indivisible, and living inside each believer based upon their confession and belief in their heart. We will be shining our outer spotlight on Woman of God, CC Godbo. If you want to be my special guest, why don't you give me a call at 870-413-0220 is the number to call. A brother gets busy from day to day, but leave a message, and I promise you I'll get back to you. Or you can send me a message on Facebook, Ron E. Jefferson. Say, Brother Ron, I want to be your special guest on Fire the Gospel Experience, and I promise you we'll work it out some kind of way. Or send me an email, Ronald Jefferson 1, to all you gospel artists. Send me that MP3 music, and I'll put you in my playlist, just like I'm about to do Papa San. We about to take this gospel message all the way from the Caribbean. Y'all don't know. Jesus said take that gospel message all over the world, and that's what man of God, Papa San, is about to do, because he know what he knows. Amen. I love that, because I know it too. Come on, Papa San.
Because I know where I'm going.
Yeah. I'm going to tell them something to me. Watch out.
I know who me calling on. Me know where me going and me coming from. Some guide and protected by the only one. I know who me calling on. Me know where me going and me coming from. Some guide and protected by the only one. Hey, should not see me in this place with me mic up in me and me just a live on the name of Jesus when me sing gospel songs. Some of them are me right and some of them are me wrong. But what? I know nothing of them no understand. Oh, you fit tell me say nothing more by yourself. And me not eating at the Bible where it says so. Why you want me let go and go back over there so? When Christ take me out of pain and sorrow, put me upon a road that is straight and narrow. Me know what me go back and I think about tomorrow. Him don't show me say me value more than a sparrow. And me you want go borrow but me just hide your arrow.
I know who me calling on. Me know where me going and me coming from. Stand guide and protected by the only one. Yada doi doi doi. Yaga yow. I know who me calling on. Me know where me going and me coming from. Stand guide and protected by the only one. Skidididididido.
I was waiting all day long.
No, you want to shut me up. You don't like when I'm singing. No, you want to tell me you're hurting up my feelings. No, you want to mix me up. You want a volcano erupt. Sure. I was chosen and requested by the one that resurrected. Selected and affected. Elected, perfected. I've never been neglected. I will never be rejected. Why you want to be obstacle in my message? Just remember who you are follow. Don't compromise when you hear them all. Blah, 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 blah. Be your strength and not criticize your brother. Man, you hang like Judas with your shirt or your collar. You never know, say that my mouth makes me sing. Outside, me not talking ya anything. But when they come to give praises to the king, it's set fast spring like a car engine, bim.
I know who me calling on. Me know where me going and me coming from. Stand guide and protected by the only one. I know who me calling on. Me know where me going and me coming from.
and guide and protected by the Holy One. I know.
I was waiting all day long.
I know who me calling on. Me know where me going and me coming from. Sun guide and protected by the Holy One. Na na no in I know. I know who me calling on. Me know where me going and me coming from. Sun guide and protected by the Holy One. Did it, I know.
I was waiting all day long just for you to hear my song, but you never
gospel experience ministry all over the world. Amen. Yes, indeed. Amen. Goes right there. This is the time of Shine Artist Spotlight, where you gifted and anointed people of God, gospel artists, ministers, preachers, teachers will come in and share whatever it is you got going on. If you're an author and you've written a book and you've been on my show, shame on you. You need to get in touch with me. You say you want to promote your book, your project, your ministry. Well, guess what? That's why God sent me to tell you, here I am. Come on to this fire gospel experience. This woman of God, oh, my God. I am just looking for her to just win Stellar, Dove, Grammy, whatever they got going on. You can throw a Soul Train Award in there for the gospel category. It's all good because she's doing things in such a beautiful way. For God, I'm just proud to have this sweetheart of a gospel angel here on this fire gospel experience. She is a woman of God that loves Jesus. She's singing Jesus music like she really do know him, and I believe she do. She is leading her life with Jesus coming first. Amen. Goes right there. Now, you can't beat that right there. So listen, for all of you that is looking for somebody to bless your life, I am here to recommend my Jesus. This woman of God is here, and I'm excited. I know she's got some things going on, so let me introduce this woman of God to you all. She is favored by God. She has been doing her thing for some time. She'll let you know that she can do all things through Christ who strengthens her from Philippians 4 and 13. And without any further ado, and yes, we're going to play her music, Woman of God, Cece Godbo is here for Shine Artist Spotlight on Fire, the Gospel Experience. Yes, indeed. Welcome, welcome, woman of God, Cece Godbo. How are you doing? How are you?
I am great, man of God. It's just such a blessing to be a part of your show, and thank you so much for this opportunity. To God be the glory for the things he has done. I'm just so appreciative to you for just this platform that you're giving me. For those Amen. Who may not know Cece Godbo, we'll have that opportunity to know who I am. Praise God.
Amen. Well, why don't you go ahead and share a little bit about yourself from any point in life that you want us to know about Cece Godbo. Come on, woman of God.
Well, Well, first and foremost, I am a child of God who loves the Lord and his people. I am CC Godbolt. My hometown is Camden, Arkansas now, but I live in Dallas, Texas. And I've been singing for the last, maybe 19 to 20 years professionally.
What?
I'm a gospel recording artist and actress. I do act as well. I've been in numerous plays, and I'm a praise and worshiper. I'm married to Dalton Domingue of 20 years. And my mother is Marilyn Godbolt of Camden, Arkansas. Robert Godbolt, my father, the late Robert Godbolt, if anybody knows, in the Arkansas area. And I just love the Lord and just enjoy doing what I'm doing, the ministry, just going out and just being a blessing to the body of Christ and touching, you know, souls through my ministry of singing and acting. So I'm just grateful for everything that God has done for me. I just released my new single, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, and it is doing awesome. I am on the Gospel Indicator Billboard charts, number 20. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm grateful for that, for the favor of God. God is good. And so many other things that I'm doing, opportunities, prison ministry, have some other plays coming up. And just a lot. My schedule is getting busy, but I'm grateful because I know that it's all God that is making it happen. So I'm just excited about what God is doing and yet to do in my life.
Amen. Well, you just so politely said a lot of amazing things. Married for 20 years, that's a whole conversation right there that we can have a whole show on how to successfully stay married and in love without regrets and without wringing your fists and balling up your face right there. And then to be a gospel recording artist for 19 years, that's amazing. Because, look, I bring you gospel artists, ministers, and preachers, teachers on because what we see is like the finished product, if you will. We don't see the rehearsal. We don't see the sacrifice. We don't see the commitment. We don't see the tears. We don't see the stresses. We don't see the trauma and the drama that the devil inflicts upon y'all ministries because y'all are somewhere else where we can't see y'all. And by the time God steps in and pulls everything together for y'all ready to come to our church platform, y'all ready to go to some venue and sing your sanctified socks off. So I'm here to let you all share with us what it takes to persevere in a marriage for 20 years, what it takes to persevere as a gospel artist for 19 years, because if y'all don't tell us, we're going to think y'all got it made in the shade, and you know better than that.
No, it's, you know, to be married 20 years, going on 21, it'll be July, it's a lot of seeking God and keeping God first in the midst of your marriage, your relationship, and also praying, you know, daily to God and lifting up your spouse before God and just communicating and supporting and praying for one another, I think has truly been a part of my marriage for me and my husband. My husband is my manager as well for me on the ministry side. So it takes someone who knows the gift that God has instilled in me, that's not jealous, that understands the ministry and wants to be a part of that with me as well. So it's truly been a blessing. No one is perfect, so I can't say there's a perfect marriage because we're not perfect people, but we're striving.
Oh, man.
And so, it's work, but it's good when you both are working together and not against one another, and you both recognize each other's strengths and weaknesses, and you can help each other along the way and just continue to talk and love on each other and date like you did when he was trying to get me, you know what I'm saying? So it's just been a blessing. On the ministry side, well, of course, it's been up and down. The journey hasn't been easy, but of course, God didn't say that it would be, but in the midst of the struggles and the storms, he has been with me. He has kept me, and because of my husband who has pushed me and motivated me as well to continue on, it's been a blessing, and I would tell anyone out there who's wanting to do this or who's doing this, just keep the faith and trust in God and know that if God called you to do it, then he will equip you for the journey as well, and make sure you center yourself around people who can pray for you, pray with you, who can support you, you know, and just know that, you know, whatever God has given you that gift, just continue on. He didn't say that, you know, it would be easy, but he said he'll be with you. So there will be some dark days. There will be some times when you may want to give up. But if you know truly in your heart that this is what God has called you to do, you know, then you have to stick to it. Because it's not going to be overnight. Trust and believe that. But I believe that if you know, if you know for sure that this is something that you want to do, trust and believe you, God will see you through it. I'm a living witness. It hasn't been easy these 19 years for me, but I stay with it. I trusted God. I had the faith, and I believe that me and God could make it happen.
Well, you said the key thing right there. You said you trust in God. And see, I'm a firm believer that anything worth having is worth fighting for. So you're going to give it your absolute best. So listen, I'm going to go ahead and play this amazing blessed song, Blessed Be the Name, because I already know, and you just said it, when you can call upon the name of the Lord with no strings attached, with no hidden agendas, because he sees behind them tricks anyway. You can't fool God. But it's the intent of our hearts as we approach our God, being sincere, naked, just like Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden, naked before God. No games, no fronts, no false activities going on in our mind. We just want to bless your name, God. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name, O Most High. The name of the Lord is strong.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Blessed be your name. Lord Jesus. I feel like I just had church up in here, Woman of God, tell
Praise
us a little
Lord.
Bit about this song. What was the inspiration? Because you sang it with so much spiritual vibrancy. That is just a beautiful, beautiful rendition of that classic song. Tell us about it.
Well, as you just stated, it is a classy song when we think about it. It's an old traditional, too, back in the day, blessed be the name of the Lord. And so what happened was a dear friend of mine, Robin McGee, she is an awesome songwriter and artist as well. She actually wrote that song, and she pitched it to me. I listened to it, and I immediately fell in love with the song because it was different. It had more of that upbeat kind of like contemporary, maybe jazz style. And I wanted something different than the normal CC. And I said, you know what? When I listened to the words and everything, because it reminded me of back the old traditional blessed be the name of the Lord, I was like, okay, I think I can do this. So we went in studio and we recorded it, and I tell you, I just fell in love with the song itself because it really pushed me. It got me out of my, as they say, comfort zone. And it truly has been a blessing to my soul and to others as well. So that's kind of how the song really came about. It was written by Robin McGee, and I just fell in love with it because it was so different, and that's what I was looking for. And so we did it, and I'm grateful now because blessed be the name is really doing it. So to God be the glory for that.
Amen. And not only that, woman of God, but it introduces a newer version of a classic song to a whole other generation.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
Amen. So listen,
Amen.
Woman of God,
yes,
tell us what's in store for the amazing gospel ministry of CC Godbo. What does the future hold? Tell us more. And by all means, I want to make sure you keep sending music to the Fire Gospel Experience. If you don't send me that music, if I hear it being played and I don't have my copy in my playlist, I'm gonna come and find you. I know Dallas is big, but I got connections.
Okay, you will definitely get it, man of God. You definitely will. Thank you. Well, for me, I do know that I'm going to be working on another single, coming up here shortly. I'm just looking to what God has in store for me. I will be a part of the Stellar Weekend, the Stellar Awards is going to be in Atlanta in July. I'm going to be a part of one of the showcases there, Round Rock Entertainment. So I will be performing during that time. Yes, and also, as I stated earlier, I do prison ministry, so I will be traveling abroad ministering in the prison throughout this summer. I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. And then I have a play coming up in November as titled The Bishop's Wife, and that's going to be in Dallas, Texas. So if you're free and you can come, it's November 5th, I need you to come on and check your girl out in The Bishop's Wife. And it's just a lot of things coming up. I'm just excited about what God is doing. Radio servicing for my single has been a blessing because it's out there. Everybody hears it. They know it, and they're just excited about it. And I'm looking forward to next year being nominated for a Stellar Award, Female Artist of the Year, New
what?
Artist of the Year, all that good stuff. I'm just believing and trusting God that it will happen, okay? Dove Awards, all
Amen.
That.
Amen, amen.
Yes.
All of that, amen, because, listen, if you don't have the faith to believe that God can open those doors, then you might as well just go sit down somewhere and stay home, because, see, God
that's
is
it.
Not trying to look for no minor leaguers. Everybody that's saved is going to the big time, amen? Amen?
Amen, yes.
based
amen,
upon,
yeah,
based
we
upon
ready.
Based upon his will. So I need you to keep me posted about this play and about anything else that you have going on, because my birthday is in November, and I don't mind traveling now because, shoot, I come on down there. I got some family down there in Fort Worth I ain't seen in a while. I can shoot down the road and see them and then hang out with y'all around about my birthday
That's
time.
It.
I ain't scared
That's
now.
It.
That sounds good. You got me.
Well, let's make it happen.
You got me. You got me planning stuff already. That's why I like y'all, because see, y'all all about let's do it, let's get it, let's make it happen. That's what I'm talking about.
That's it. Let's make it happen. But for sure, I would definitely
Amen.
Keep you informed on everything that's going on. For sure, now that I have your information, I definitely will keep you up on everything, man of God. Yes.
Amen. Please do that. Can you share with us
yes.
any contact information in case someone listening to this Fire Gospel mm-hmm. Experience broadcast that have heard your interview and been blessed by your music that wants you to come and be a part of whatever project they got going on, concert or whatever it takes, revival, women's retreat, how can you be reached? Where can your music be downloaded? And then share your social media outlets with my listeners so that they can support you on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you got going on, woman of God.
Okay. Well, if you want to reach out to CC God and stay in contact with me and what's going on with me, you can reach me on my website. That's one way, at ccgodvote.net. And I'll spell that for anybody that may not can get that, but it's CECEGODVOLT.net, ccgodvote.net. You can also follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ccgodvote, at ccgodvote. And again, my website is ccgodvote.net. Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter is at ccgodvote. If you would like to download my music, any of my music, I am out there on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Apple Music. And if you want to download my new single, if you want a hard copy of it, you can go on my website. There is a link where you can purchase the hard copy, and we will get it to you. So, again, ccgodvote.net, at ccgodvote, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. All those major handles, you can find ccgodvote. And you can book me on
Amen.
My website as well.
Amen. I think that's amazing because the name Godvote is like, spiritual. It's like biblical. It's like God threw a bolt of lightning. God bolt. Y'all get it? Okay. Well,
right.
There you go right there. CC God
yes.
bolt. That'll help
God
y'all bolt. Remember. Y'all follow this woman of God. Support this woman of God. And watch God bless you just by blessing her gospel ministry. Looking forward to watching God do more successful, amazing things in your life, woman of God. Let's keep this kingdom collaboration moving forward for the cause
yes.
of Christ. And any way that I can support you, I just want you to know, put my name on your list. Amen?
Thank you so much, man of God. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you.
Amen. That is woman of God, CC Godvote. We shine our artist spotlight on her, and she was shining bright and still is with Jesus. Amen. Goes right there. Yes, indeed. I love y'all. I love y'all. Y'all are so amazing. Y'all are living for Jesus. Y'all got this pride in Jesus that I promise you, it kind of reminds me of how Moses came down from Mount Sinai and spoke face to face with God. And he didn't even know the radiance of God was shining so bright. He said, Lord, when he realized it, he said, let me put a veil over my face because this bright light that's shining through my very core being will scare some folks. That's what God wants to do with each and every one of us. He wants to infiltrate our core soul being without trespassing. He wants to be invited all the way into our lives. He don't want to just stand at your heart's door and knock. He wants you to open up your heart and then step aside so that he can come all the way in because he wants to shine bright. Amen. Goes right there. You're tuned into Fire, the Gospel Experience. Here is man of God because listen, if you want God in your life, all you got to do is do like man of God, the young page, Jay Blunt, dude, and just ask him and tell him, God, guess what? I want more, of you. Yes, sir. That's how you do it.
Come on, somebody lift your hands and begin to worship God. How many want more of him?
Oh,
we want more.
God. Jesus, more of you, oh God. Yeah. We want more of you, oh God. Jesus, more of you, oh God. Come on with one voice, say,
we want more of you, oh God.
Come on, musicians, don't y'all start nothing. Well, since we here, we might as well praise them. Everybody clap your hands. Clap, 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 clap. Come on, don't just stand there. Now you already decreed and declare more from God. Now go ahead and put a praise on it.
Yeah, you might as well go and put a praise on it, man of God. Leontay, Jay Blunt, getting his praise on. Singing to God about more, God. We want more, more, more. We can't get enough of God, and guess what? We cannot possibly contain and apply all of who God is because he is so immense. He goes beyond our human capabilities and capacities to even comprehend. He expands beyond eternity. So the more of God that you ask for, guess what? You're going to get just that right there, more of God. But you got to have a good and thorough heart examination first. And that's what we want to discuss for your spiritual consideration here on this Fire Gospel Experience. Reading from the New International Version, the NIV, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 says, that the word of God is that we should remember. We need to analyze what the Lord God is telling us so that we can be thorough when it comes to this great heart examination that is ours just to consider. Amen. Goes right there. The word of God is true. It is everlasting. And it precedes everything else that we should be doing in terms of who we are. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 8 says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Amen. That is the reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And the version from the NIV reads similar, but just like this. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. Oh, my, my, my. Talking about heart exam. The Bible recognizes God in three distinct personalities, yet somehow beyond our human intellect and understanding, they are existing as one body, one entity, and one supernatural God. When God said in Genesis 1:26, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. I believe that this image of God that we are made in his has to do with its translated in what God requires from us. Matthew 22 and 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. The first symbolic imagery of God in man is the heart that our Lord Jesus spoke of. Why the heart? Many have described the heart as the seat of our emotions. But on a much deeper plane, I believe that the heart is the conscious of our soul, which is so very closely intertwined together. Talking about heart and soul, almost inseparable between the two, yet existing independently, although in a state of oneness, which is very symbolic and similar to our triune God. Yes, our inner self of heart is greatly ingrained with our emotions, but yet there exists a portion of our mental capacity with our hearts that is also just as interconnected to our minds
as it is with our soul. This is where and how our spiritual maturity grows, as is evident by our spiritual discernment. Our ability to see the unseen and know the unknown, and even feel sometimes those lingering vibrations of other previous conversations, possibly regarding us when we walk into a room, as if to sense that we have been the topic of prior discussion, and suddenly the atmosphere changes upon our entrance. We've all been there, and we can relate to that. That feeling like, it just feels like my name has been called, and I wasn't even there. As if to sense that we have been the topic of prior discussion, and then suddenly the atmosphere changes upon our entrance. It's happened. It's a direct result of our hearts and minds being logged into a spiritual wavelength that enables us to indulge in this high level of comprehension. Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this man mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What we need to understand is that God requires our whole and our full selves as our highest offerings to him. Our hearts have been touched by the great benevolent gift of our Lord Jesus' great sacrifice of his life that saved our souls. And now, with our mind's comprehension of these facts, along with these great emotions of gratitude, we yield our mind and learning abilities, discipline, and mental capacities for biblical and spiritual knowledge that transforms our very being. Romans 12 and 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now listen, this transforming process is a daily renewal, reinvestigating our understanding as well as our right standing in our behavior, attitudes, and our personal spiritual light in all of our surroundings. Matthew 22 and 37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Here we go again with those three elements of the total composition of a person, mind, heart, and soul, as if to symbolically represent the Trinitarian existence of our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then our soul, that part of us that is closest to the very DNA of God, our invisible selves within. When life has left our bodies, it is due to the departure of our souls. This incredible part of who we are is where our spiritual strength, enlightenment, and that miraculous is connected to from God. When Paul was taken up into the third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12 and 2, he told us about this journey. He says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up into the third heaven. This extraordinary journey of the Apostle Paul was when his soul journeyed from his body and yet kept alive. We will one day live as our soul's selves in this form in heaven throughout eternity with God Almighty and with all of mankind's history of fellow believers from all ages. But listen, it all must begin with our honest, transparent, and continuous heart examination. We must know that we know that we know that we are maintaining our right and righteous standing with God and holding fast to all the gospel truth to our Lord Jesus as Savior and the only Redeemer for the saving of all people's souls. But it all must begin with our honest, transparent, and continuous heart examination. Amen. Goes right there. You tuned in to Fire, the gospel experience. Yes, indeed. Here's woman of God, Anya Dixon, letting us know that when you have gone through this process of heart examination and thoroughly been honest, transparent, and sincere with God, God will bless you to be an overcomer in all things. But thanks to God.
Any overcomers out there today? Yeah. Whoa, 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 whoa. Can y'all just snap your fingers? Yeah. This one's for y'all. Check it out. Tests and trials come to make you strong. But keep the faith and just hold on.
Are you an overcomer?
Overcoming in Christ is what it's really all about. I want to thank all of you blessed and beautiful people for joining me on another Fire Gospel Experience. I pray that you've been blessed. I just want to thank my special guest, man of God, Dr. Marshawn C. Wilborn, and then, of course, woman of God, CeCe Goldborn, on our Fire Gospel Experience Shine on a Spotlight. You all keep doing what y'all are doing in the beautiful and the precious name of Jesus, and I believe, without a doubt, you will be blessed. I want to leave you with one final word. Amen. We are cut from a different cloth, knit together by the hand of God. So remember that. No matter what you're going through, God has a plan and a purpose for everything, and I believe it will be for your good in due time. So you just hold on to God's unchanging hand. I want to leave you with man of God, AJ Evans, because when you find out that you love God so much and he's examined your heart, you're going to be hooked. Come on, man of God, AJ Evans. Y'all be blessed in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Hallelujah.
Welcome in to this place. We need you in this place. Make us new in this place, Jesus. Wrap your arms around me. No bondage set us free. I'm desperate, don't ever leave, Jesus. Your love has captured me. Your grace has covered me. Your spirit surrounding me. I'm hooked on you, Jesus. You're never failing, always prevailing. To me, you're caring. I'm hooked on you, Jesus. Take control in this place. Cleanse our souls in this place. Make us whole in this place, Jesus. Forgive us for our mistakes. Speak to me face to face. This is the day that you have made, Jesus. Help me say your love has captured me.
Your grace
has covered me.
Your spirit
surrounding me.
I'm hooked on you.
I'm hooked on you, Jesus.
You're never
failing.
Always
prevail.
Yeah.